Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 as we continue to look at the parable of the sower. This is the first parable of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 includes eight parables called the parables of the kingdom, describing the nature of God's kingdom between Christ's sufferings and his glory, his first coming and his second coming. And the first of these parables is called the parable of the sower, so named by Christ himself. Now we're going to read this morning from verses 3 through 9, and then we're going to skip over to verses 18 through 23. In verses 3 through 9, he gives the parable, and then he interprets it in verses 18 through 23. So starting then in chapter 13, verse 3, "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And then down to verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time this morning in the word. Father, even as we are reminded of here this morning in this passage, how we hear the word of God depends on our fruitfulness and or results in fruitfulness and in eternal life. Lord, we know that we are dependent upon you to hear the word rightly. We ask, Lord, that you, by your grace, would grant us that the Holy Spirit would teach us this morning. I pray that we would not so much be judges of the word as the word would be judges of our own hearts. I pray that you would teach us and mold us according to your purpose. Lord, teach us to think your thoughts after you. Teach us to walk in your truth. We acknowledge our dependence upon you, and we ask that you would abundantly bless according to your grace. May the word go forth clearly, and may hearts be receptive to the truth of the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus gave this very simple, understandable parable using an agricultural illustration, something that everybody would have understood and would have been able to comprehend. He gave this illustration in order to explain or describe the way in which different people hear the Word of God. And we might observe that many people hear the Word of God from the standpoint of, you know, their ears take in or their eyes take in the Word of God. There are many places in which you might come across the hearing of or the understanding of the Word of God. Right now, you're sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, the explanation of the Word of God. If you were here in Sunday school and Chris taught on 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you were sitting under the teaching of the Word of God. You were hearing the Word of God. But there are other ways in which people hear the Word of God. Perhaps you grew up in a Christian home, or where your parents, one of your parents or both of your parents, taught the Word of God to you, maybe read Bible stories to you. Perhaps you were taught in Sunday school as a child. Maybe you read the Bible yourself, read parts of it. You've been exposed to it. You have read it. You've maybe even studied it, sat under its teaching. Maybe someone, a fellow employee or a friend or relative has shared with you the Word of God, taught something to you about the Word of God. There are many ways in which people come under the hearing of the Word of God. But here, Jesus is describing how people respond to that hearing, whether they really hear or not. In other words, you can hear the Word of God without understanding the Word of God. And he describes here four types of people, four types of response to the Word of God. And he compares them to soils. We might say the soil of an individual's heart. He speaks, first of all, of this one upon whom the seed was sown, and it was like the pathway, which was trodden down and hardened. That's one heart. And then there is the one that the seed was thrown into the stony ground. It came up quickly, but then died quickly. And then there was the one that was thrown among thorns, and it thrived for a while, but eventually, over time, was choked by the thorns. And then there was that seed that was actually sown into good ground. And that person actually understood the Word of God. And over time, they brought forth fruit. And that fruit was abundant. Each of those scenarios describes how people hear the Word of God. And I want you to observe, just by way of introduction again, the difference in these people is fundamentally one of understanding. And if you'll notice in verse 19, describing the wayside here, it says, when anyone hears the Word of God, or the Word of the Kingdom, and does not understand it. Okay? See, that's the wayside here. He does not understand it. And then when you go down to verse 23 and it speaks of the fruitful listener, it says, and the one on whom seed was sown in the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. So you see the differences in how one understands it. And the only one that truly understands it in this parable is the one who brings forth fruit. And that is the great evidence that one understands and has heard the Word of God. And in fact, we want to emphasize the fact that the only one in this parable who is born again is the last one. He is the only one who has heard the Word of God. And in this case, it's one in four. Now, I rather suspect the rate is actually less than that in real life. But the point is that there are many who hear the Word of God who do not hear it. Now, I also want you to observe, again, by way of introduction, the similarities of the three that heard it without hearing it. They all heard the Word of God. They all heard, at some level, the reading, the preaching, the teaching of the Word of God. They had that in common. All of them heard it. They also had this in common. None of them bore fruit. They apparently had something that looked a little like fruit, some of them, but none of them bore any fruit of the Holy Spirit. I also want you to notice that as you go through them, there is a progression. In other words, the first one, we could say, didn't understand at all. The second one had a superficial understanding and seemed to understand. They grew quickly. They immediately received it, and then they eventually faded off. And then the third one had even more understanding. And it seems that he thrived even longer. But all of them, in the end, were overcome. And they were overcome by various things. And that's what we want to look at as we go through these. And as we look at these four types of soil over this week and next week, actually we won't be doing this next week, but the next time, as we go through these, I want you to think in terms of two things. First of all, I want you to think, first of all, in terms of what kind of hearer are you? I mean, that's the obvious question, right? Now, the question in the end isn't, do I go to church, or am I a nice person, or am I moral? That's not the question. Okay, the question is, how do you hear the Word of God? Okay, and so everybody in here, by the way, including the preacher, okay, everybody in here has to ask the question, what kind of hearer am I? I fall in here somewhere. Okay, that's the first question, and we'll look at that. And the second question, or the second thing I want you to remember and to observe is this, that as a Christian, I am a sower of seed. That is, I am a preacher of the gospel. It's not just me, the preacher, up here. If you're a Christian, if you've heard correctly, you're also a sower. You sow the Word of God. You sow the Word of God with your children. You sow the Word of God with your relatives, your friends, your co-workers, the people you go to school with, the people you meet. If you have heard correctly, you are a sower. And when you sow, you must remember that you do not control the kind of soil, the kind of heart to whom you preach. God doesn't ask you to judge the heart of the person to whom you give the Word of God. He doesn't. It's not for us to do that. We must remember that there are people to whom we will preach the Word of God who will reject immediately. There are people who will receive it seemingly, but will quickly fall away. There are people who will receive it for a time and seem to show forth fruit and who will fall away in the end. And then there are people who truly will hear the Word of God. And listen, no matter what you do, you cannot, you personally and me, I cannot change the heart of anybody. But I can do this. I can be faithful to give the Word of God. Okay, so we have to remember what our role is. Our role is not to change people's hearts. We can't do that. Even our own children's hearts. Oh, we'd love to. We could if we would. Or we would if we could. Okay, but we can't. Okay, what we can do is sow the Word of God faithfully and pray earnestly that the Lord would change their hearts. Because He's the one that does it. Okay, He's the one that breaks up the heart. He's the one that breaks up the ground and makes a soft heart that does, in fact, receive the Word of God. So let's keep those things in mind as we go through and look at the various kinds of hearers. Now, again, there are four kinds of hearers. We're going to look at the first two, Lord willing, this morning. And my outline is this. We're going to first of all look at the careless hearers, the one on whom it was by the wayside. The seed was thrown upon the path. The second one that we will look at is the superficial hearer, the one that seems to immediately responds with joy, but then falls away rather quickly. And then we will take just a few minutes at the end and consider some of the lessons that come from what the Scriptures have said here. And then, Lord willing, next time we will look at the other two. So let us, first of all, consider the careless hearer. The careless hearer, or we might say the indifferent hearer, the hard-hearted hearer, the callous hearer. Look, we will get, first of all, his description in the parable in verse 4. It says, "And he sowed some seeds, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up." Again, this is not too difficult to imagine from the standpoint of the physical world. I know, again, I grew up around a farm for some years, and if you walk along the fields, there's usually paths or roads that are kind of hardened alongside of the fields, mainly by tractors and vehicles. Now, in those days, obviously, they didn't have tractors, but they did have paths. They had places where you walked, and those paths were hardened. They were hardened because of the traffic that was constantly on them, whether it was animals or people, today maybe vehicles. But the point is that it had hardened to such a degree that when the seed was thrown on it, it didn't penetrate. It just laid on the top because the soil was hard. Okay, and obviously it didn't germinate because it wasn't received into the ground. It just laid on top. Now, those seeds inevitably get eaten by the birds. Now, if you ever plant seeds, and I know a few years ago when I was planting grass, I noticed how often the sparrows came and were eating the grass seed. You know, they came and they knew that the seed was planted, and whatever was on the top, they were picking up. The birds eat seeds. They're seed eaters, or at least many of them. And so the end of this seed is that it was consumed by the bird. And obviously, a seed consumed by the bird is not going to be germinated. It's not going to produce anything. It's not even going to produce a shoot. It doesn't even begin any form of life whatsoever. Now, that's the picture. Now, he explains the picture in verse 19. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. Let me describe, if I may, four things about this wayside hearer. The one that hears the word of God and the seed is taken away by the evil one. Let me first of all observe his response. The response of this kind of hearer is rejection. And oftentimes, immediate rejection. Just complete rejection of the truth. It generally makes no impression upon the heart. There is no conviction of sin. There is no fear of hell. There is no sense of the reality that God is their creator and they owe life to them or to Him, and that God is holy and that He will give an account. We will all give an account before this holy God. There is no sense at all of the reality of this. It makes no impression. In many cases, people kind of view it as more or less of a myth. And certainly there is no profession of faith in this person. This person doesn't even pretend to make a profession of faith. This person is completely unmoved by the Word of God. It doesn't mean anything to them. And the reason, the second thing I would like to observe, that's their response. The reason for this response, the reason they reject the truth is because they do not understand it. They simply do not understand what the Word of God is saying. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Their heart is hard. They cannot hear the Word of God. They cannot be, and they will not. They cannot understand what they hear. Now, the reason or the problem behind their lack of understanding, the third thing I would observe about these people, is that they are hard-hearted. They are hard-hearted. Just like, again, the path that has been traveled over so many times that nothing can penetrate it, no seed can get into it, because it's hard. It's hard because of traffic. It's hard because of sin, because of self-righteousness, because of the world. This person is so full of the world's way of thinking, the world's way of doing, the world's attitudes and understandings. Indeed, this person has been hardened and cannot hear. He is described by Jesus, as Jesus was speaking of the Jews, back in verse 14 and 15. It says, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing but will not understand. You will keep on seeing but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. They are hard-hearted, just like the Jews, because they have closed their eyes. They have chosen not to see. They will not see. They refuse to see. And in many instances, I would suggest, or maybe all instances, they have been conditioned not to see, not to hear the Word of God. They cannot. I couldn't help but think of the fact that in our day, our children are being hardened almost from day one in this culture in which they live because of the things that they are constantly being exposed to, the things they see on television, the things they hear at school. You know, there was a day in this nation when kids would go to school. This was true back in the 1800s. Kids would go to school, and when they learned the alphabet, they would learn the gospel. A is for Adam, who sinned in the fall. And they would go through, and they learned the gospel when they learned the alphabet. But today, kids don't learn the gospel. They learn about how we have supposedly evolved from apes and how there are no really any moral absolutes, that it's just whatever you think or what society thinks it should be. And we are taught all these things. We're taught basically that we're nothing more than advanced animals. And this hardens the heart to the gospel and makes it almost impossible to penetrate, because our children from a very early age are being taught how to be atheists, how to believe in science and only science. Science is our religion. And this hardens to the gospel, so that people are really in a position where they really almost, again, from a human perspective, are incapable of hearing the gospel. And they reject it outright. They reject it immediately. Now the result here, according to Jesus in Matthew 13, the result, the end, is actually satanic blindness. Satanic blinding. In other words, this person's hardness of heart is confirmed by the work of Satan in their life. And these people, actually, whatever truth they heard, whatever truth they were exposed to, is actually taken from them. And when that happens, there's really, again, apart from the grace of God, I mean, there is no hope of salvation apart from the gospel, apart from hearing the word of God. And these people are blinded by Satan. It says, again, in verse 19, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. So, Satan, by the way, Satan is a real being. He's not a myth. The Bible teaches plainly that there is a Satan, and that Satan rules over a realm of demons. And those beings are irreversibly opposed to the work of God and the plan of God, and are bent on the destruction of your heart and your soul and your mind for all eternity. And Satan, whether it's Satan personally or whether it's one of his minions, are there to distract you from the truth that you have heard and actually would take away that seed. Now, there are many ways in which Satan can take away the seed that has been planted. And I'll just give you a few examples, and you can use your imagination and think of many others. But one way in which, and I use the example maybe of sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, some of you maybe today will be touched by the Word of God at a certain level and say, well, you know, maybe I should look into that some more. Maybe I should read about that. Maybe I should study the Bible and make it a point of looking into what the Word of God really says about these things. Well, then you go home and, well, you have dinner, and, well, then you turn on the TV and you watch a football game. And you know what? After a while, you know what? You forget about it. It's just not important anymore. You see, Satan can take the seed so many different ways. I believe one way in which he takes it is by some people, instead of, again, allowing the Word of God to judge their own heart, they judge the Word of God, and they simply are constantly finding fault with the Scriptures, or maybe with the messenger, the preacher, and constantly saying, oh, well, yeah, he does this, and he shouldn't have said that, and oh, well, you know, the Word of God, can we really trust it? I mean, after all, it's, you know, written by men, and how can we know that we really have the Word of God? And in these ways, Satan steals the Word of God. And it has no way of taking effect in the heart. I am convinced that many young people have been hardened without question by the television, by their iPods, by their video games. Whatever impression the Word of God may have made along the way, they just go and put on the earphones and listen to their favorite rock music, and, you know, before you know it, they're deaf. They're deaf. They're deaf to the Word of God. Why? Because they're filled with the world. They're hardened. They cannot receive it. They cannot hear it. They cannot understand it. They have no desire for it. They have no intention of seeking it, because they are hard. They're hard-hearted. And here, we find that Satan confirms them in that hard-heartedness, and their heart becomes even more hard, and they are blinded. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, lest the light of the glorious gospel would shine unto them. Satan is expert at stealing the seed, and he does it by overwhelming you with the world. And the whole world, the whole system of the world, is meant to create satanic deception. That's what the Bible teaches. And that is the means by which he steals the seed of the Word of God. This is the hard-hearted believer or unbeliever, the one who hears without hearing. He doesn't understand and he's hard. Now let us look for a little bit at the second kind of hearer, the superficial hearers. And this kind, I think, is a little more difficult to understand and a little more sobering, I think, in many respects. And again, let us look at the picture that Jesus draws in verses 5 and 6 of this second kind of hearer. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they wither away. Again, this isn't really hard to comprehend if you have planted a garden or something like that. The idea here is there's soil here, but not much. And right underneath the soil is rock. And so this plant has just enough soil that it can germinate. It does germinate. It actually produces something. And it doesn't just germinate. A plant actually comes up. There's something green there. There's life there, it seems, right? Yet, because of the rock that's just below the surface, it has no root. It can't get any water. It can't get any nourishment because there's rock there. So it can't extend roots. And so this plant, even though it comes up very quickly, as soon as the sun comes out on it and it scorches it for a little while, that plant dies pretty quickly because it doesn't have root. It doesn't have any nourishment. It doesn't have any water. It can't survive. This we call the stony ground hearer. Now look how Jesus explains this in verse 20 and verse 21. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So let me, again, go through the same procedure as we did in the last one, and let me describe the superficial hearer. Let us, first of all, consider his response. Well, his response is immediate. He responds immediately to the message, and he responds with joy. But the response is temporary. In fact, it says he is temporary. These are people that seem to hear the Word of God. And their response is encouraging. And we think, oh, what a wonderful example of someone who has come to Christ. This is someone that walks the aisle, makes a decision, signs the card, and is filled with joy, and immediately say, well, this person was truly saved, was he not? This is a person that seems to show genuine life. Spiritual life. There's a profession of faith. This is someone who truly does make a profession of faith. Say, oh yes, I believe I'm a sinner. Yes, I believe Jesus died for my sins. Yes, I'm ready to commit my life to Christ, and I will follow Him, and this is the immediate response. Without any heart searching, without any difficulties, this person seems to come to Christ and hear the Word of God, and he grows quickly. But the problem here, or the reason that he doesn't continue, is because his understanding is superficial. His understanding of the Word of God is superficial. In other words, the superficial here is someone who thinks they understand the gospel, but really doesn't. This is a person oftentimes that responds to the very positive aspect of the Word of God. Again, what kind of person doesn't respond positively to the message of God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Now, if that's all the message is, a lot of people respond to that. But this person forgot the other half, that what God calls you to is repentance, turning from sin, and actually calls us to a life of suffering and persecution, which is promised to us in multiple places by Jesus and the apostles, that if we are faithful, we will suffer persecution. That if we will be faithful, and if we will be born again and walk in the truth, we must anticipate the fact that people will not like us. There will be people that will reject us. There will be people that think we're kooky, that think we're strange. We will be laughed at, ridiculed, marginalized. This is what we can expect. And some even die. Some are killed. Some are persecuted physically, suffer great physical pain because of the truth. But this person didn't comprehend that part of the message. They didn't comprehend the fact that God calls us in Christ to the cross, which is the way of death to self. You see, when I come to Christ, it's not I come to Christ and now God's going to help me fulfill my dreams here in life. That's not the biblical message. The biblical message is, I was a slave of sin. God in His mercy made me a slave of Christ. And now my purpose is to serve Him and to live for Him, no matter what it costs, no matter where it takes me, no matter what happens to me here in this life. Whether my life is short or long, whether I am poor or rich, whether I suffer or don't suffer, whether I have children or don't have children, whether I get married or don't get married, whether I have a good career or I struggle all my life finding a career, it doesn't matter. You see, because Christ calls us to serve Him, not ourselves. And you see, we forget, this superficial here didn't take that into account. They did not understand the cost. And like Jesus used the illustration of the man who went out to build a tower and couldn't finish it. He didn't have enough money to finish it. Listen, that's the superficial hero, the superficial hearer. He's not a hero. The superficial hearer. He goes out, he begins the tower, he says, yeah, I can do this. I can handle this. I can be a Christian. No, you can't. You must be born again. And you see, eventually the person comes to the conclusion, you know what? This isn't worth it. It's not worth it. I can't do it. And because they have no root, they wither. Which leads us to the problem. We looked at their response, the reason for their response, which is they have superficial understanding. The problem behind the reason is that they have no firm root. Again, the picture is pretty simple from a physical perspective. The root is what gives the plant nourishment. Okay? We see what comes above the ground, but what's really important is what's below the ground, which is the root. And this plant had no root. And therefore, because it had no root, it could not get nourishment, it could not get water, and therefore it could not produce. Therefore, it was temporary. And it could not survive. Okay, it could not survive the elements of the real world because it had no root. It had nothing below the surface. And these superficial heroes are, if I can put it this way, they're all external. The change and the, you know, their excitement and their joy, it's all external. What they do is just purely external. Their religion is all outside. What they do before people. Before the public, before the church. But their root, they have no root. They have no real personal, individual fellowship with Christ through the Word in the prayer closet. See, underneath that thin layer of soil is a rock-hard heart, just as hard as the first hearer. And while they may show a certain amount of emotion at the beginning, and while they seem to be all on fire for the Lord for a few moments, in reality, their heart is just as unchanged as the first. It's just as hard. And it has no intention of submitting to the call of Christ to the cross. They have no prayer life. They have no desire to study the Word of God. It's all surface. It's all superficial. It's all outward. It's all public. There is no true work of the Holy Spirit in that heart, and therefore it cannot endure. Look for a moment at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, Paul says to the Colossians in verse 6, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." These are the verses that this superficial hearer didn't understand. That when you receive Christ, you must day by day become firmly rooted and built up in Christ. In the same way that you received Him, by faith and by hearing the Word of God. You see, this person was not rooted, wasn't grounded, had no personal fellowship with God in Christ. It was all external. And Paul, in the same letter of Colossians, earlier on, I think, prays, and starting in verse 9, prays for the Colossians, and what he's praying for, in essence, is this very same thing. That is, that they would be rooted. He doesn't use that word, but that is certainly the idea. And I want you to just observe what he says in verse 9 of chapter 1 of Colossians. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it," namely their conversion, "we have not ceased to pray for you." Now look at what Paul prays for them. "And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His," that is God's, "will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Now I ask you, where does someone come to know and understand the knowledge of God and the will of God? It is in the Word of God. That's the only way that you can be rooted. That's what Paul was praying for most fundamentally regarding these believers, that they would be grounded in the Word of God, that they would become students of the Word of God, that they would come to discern and understand what the Bible says about them and about God and about Christ and about living and about dying and about heaven and about hell. Why? Verse 10, "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." In other words, you will bear fruit. "To please Him in all respects." You see, that's what it is to bear fruit, right? It says bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, the only way that you will ever bear fruit, the only way that you will be rooted and grounded in the truth and stand firm and walk in truth is if you love the Word of God. It's your daily food. That's the only way. That is the only way. There is no other way. And that's the key to bearing fruit. He was praying here that they would be hearers of the Word of God in truth that would bring forth fruit. Now look at verse 11. "Strengthened with all power." Why are they strengthened? They're strengthened because they understand the Word of God and they walk worthy of the Lord. And therefore, because of that, they are strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow, there's a lot there. It's amazing. See, that's the whole root of all this is a personal walk with God that is founded in Scripture, in the meditation of Scripture, in a life of prayer, knowing the will of God, obeying the will of God. And what does that produce? That produces a life of obedience that in turn produces a life that will endure, that will give patience and strength in times of trouble, in trials. When the sun scorches, there will be life there. Why? Because there's root. Because you're rooted and grounded in the truth. Listen, don't think that you're going to get rooted when the trials come. You're going to get killed. There are people like that. They say, oh, well, when it comes, you know, when troubles come, when I really need to, when this then I'll get in the Bible, and then I'll study, and then I'll learn. No, you won't. Listen, if you don't hear now, you won't hear then. Now the result is that these quickly fall away under affliction. They have no root. They have no knowledge of the Word of God. They have no real understanding of the Word of God. Their understanding is all superficial. And when difficulties come, they just don't stand. They don't stand because their mind has not been renewed. They do not have the Holy Spirit. They have not been changed by the power of God. And they are ignorant of the truth of God. They think they understand, but they don't. And therefore, when there's any kind of affliction, it says according to or for the sake of the Word of God. In other words, again, maybe you know this isn't necessarily a threat of your life. It may just be someone ridicules you. But in the end, they're not up to that. They're easily led away. They're easily led astray under these things because they really have no conviction. They really have no conviction about the truth. By the way, that's the only reason, that's the only way you'll stand, is if you have conviction. If you really know the truth and you love the truth, you know what? When the Word of God is alive in your heart, you will not be moved by the fact that other people think you're strange. It might bug you, it might bother you, but you won't be moved by it because you're alive, because you're rooted. Now, I'm not saying there won't be times that we won't fail to be the testimony we should. There are times when we're not going to stand when we should. But listen, if the Word of God is real in your life and in your heart and has changed you, and you're a new person, you're not going to be moved because someone thinks you're strange or because someone thinks you're anti-intellectual or because someone thinks you're a kook. It won't move you because you're born again. Because you're changed. But this person, they didn't have that. They're not a new person. They fall quickly under pressure. There is no conviction of the truth. There is no experiential fellowship with God. It's purely surfacey. It's purely external. And while it may look good to people in the church, in the end, there's no root there. There's nothing there. Like Charles Spurgeon said, if you'd follow these people in their lives and go home with them, you'd find that they have no time in prayer and they have no time in the Word. They have no personal time alone with God. They're superficial. Okay? The only time they spend in the Word is in public. The only time they pray is when someone else is hearing them, like the Pharisees. This is the superficial hero, or hearer. I'm stuck on that word. Charles Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, described this man. He said there was a man under the hearing of his preaching that was a man that had a reputation in the community for being a wicked person, a hard-hearted person, a vile person. He was a big man. And one time he came under the hearing of Spurgeon and he seemed to be, he was converted just on the spot, changed, seemed to be completely changed. And in fact, so much so that they were all talking about what a wonderful work God had done in this person's life. And this man gave up drinking and gave up all of his cursing, and he came every Sunday to church, and he came to every meeting during the week and every prayer meeting. He was there, and this went on for several months, and then gradually he started not showing up at some of the meetings, and then after a while he showed up at fewer, and then after a while he wasn't there at all, and then he was out in the street drinking again. And he was a man who seemed to show fruit, immediate response. And yet in the end, it was purely an emotional response. It was not the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the superficial hearer. Well, let me, kind of a concluding way, let me just give you four lessons in relation to these truths in regard to how we hear the Word of God. And of course, it's hard to limit myself to four. And of course, we can't, for sake of time, expand these too much. But let me just give them to you. And the first one is this. Let us remember what is at stake. I want to emphasize this. Listen, how you hear the Word of God, okay, how you hear the Word of God determines your eternal state. Only those who truly hear the Word of God and are changed by the power of God will dwell eternally with Him. The hearer who doesn't hear is doomed to an eternal hell, apart from anything that is good and all that is we would call blessing, apart from the presence of God. Look what it says in the next parable regarding the day when Christ will judge. Verse 41, it says, "The Son of Man will send forth His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." There is only one way of eternal life, and it is by hearing the Word of God and obeying it. By not only confessing your sin, but by repenting of it and putting your faith in Christ and walking with Him and calling Him Lord and walking in the truth. That's the only way of salvation. It's not an indifferent thing. How you hear the Word of God is the determining factor of your eternal destination. So let us pray and ask the Lord to work in our hearts genuine salvation. He must do it. The second lesson that I would observe, or that I would point out, is this. Let us beware of the deceitfulness of our own hearts. As we look at these hearers, and we didn't cover the thorny ground here today, but as we look at these three kinds of hearers that don't hear, that don't understand, in many respects, they are self-deceived. It's very easy to deceive yourself into thinking that you're a Christian because you made a profession, or even because you had an emotional experience, because you walked an aisle, or because you signed a card, or because your parents said, "Would you like to receive Christ in your heart?" And you said yes, and you prayed a prayer. And even though there's no fruit in your life, and you live how you want, and you do what you want, you think you're a Christian because you made a decision. Don't be a fool. And don't bet your eternal life on such a foolish thought. Listen, don't think that you can make a decision and then go do whatever you want and live however you want. You can't. Don't be a fool. Listen, we must be aware of the deceitfulness of our own hearts. Our temptation every day, listen, is to set our affections on things here, to live after the flesh, and to live like a fool, like everyone else is living. And don't think that God cannot see through such foolishness. God knows your heart. Don't be deceived by yourself. Ask the Lord again to work in you, showing you your sin, the sin that is in you. Ask Him to cleanse you, change you, mold you, and make you into the image of Christ. Listen, this is the way of salvation. But beware of the deceitfulness of your own heart. The third lesson I would point out is this. Let us be careful to grow deep roots. Let us be careful to grow deep roots. This is the only way you'll stand firm in the day, in the evil day, as Paul says in Ephesians 6. The only way you will stand under persecution, the only way you will stand when things get tough, the only way you will stand when you're ridiculed, when it costs you, is if you have roots. That is, if you are a man of the Word and a man of prayer, or a woman of the Word or a woman of prayer, or a child of prayer. Child of the Word. Why? Because that's the means by which you have fellowship with God. Again, don't fool yourself into thinking you're a Christian when you don't even open your Bible. You are deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Grow roots. That's the only way you'll stand. Listen, I ask you, how would you describe your fellowship with Christ? Not your fellowship with the church, not your fellowship with other people, not your fellowship, listen, how would you describe your fellowship with Christ? I'm amazed how many professing believers don't enjoy time alone or quiet. That's a bad sign. That really is spiritually a bad sign. A Christian's strength is his time alone with his God. I love to be alone with my Bible in quiet. That's my strength. I mean, that's when I grow in my strength and my. It's absolutely essential. But there are lots of people that don't even like to be alone. Don't even like to have just quiet time to pray or to study the Word. Listen, make this your habit every day to take time alone. Just you and your God on your knees before Him with the open Bible. Listen, you don't leave the commentaries and the books and just get on your knees with the Word of God and say, Lord, change me by your Word. Teach me through your Word. Change me. Show me my sin. Show me how to walk with you and how to love you and how to live for you and everything I do and say. Grow roots. That's the only way you'll survive. And don't think that you will get to that day and stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and stand if you didn't have roots. Make sure that all is right between you and your Lord. And let me give one final brief lesson, and that is this. Let us expect persecution. Let us expect it. The superficial hearer did not expect it. I'm telling you, expect it. Expect it. Look for that day. It's coming. That day is coming when you will have to stand alone. And if you don't stand alone, you won't stand. The day is coming where you won't be able to rely on your husband, your wife, your church.